Yesterday, one of our staff told me about a wedding they were excited to attend that's now been postponed. I mean, how terrible is it that you have to postpone your own wedding? I know how difficult this season has been also for our students. I mean, you guys have been looking forward to graduation for 4 years, and now the ceremony's uncertain and you're stuck at home. Right now, I even know of people who have lost a loved one who have had to postpone a memorial service. I mean, how terrible is it we can't even grieve together? And of course, God forbid that any of us personally become infected by this virus. You know, in the midst of all this, it's just natural to ask questions. I mean, questions like, what in the world is God doing? And maybe some of you even wondering, where's God at all? Well, this morning, I want to assure you God is alive. He's at work. He's bringing about good even in the midst of this pandemic. Now, if you would turn with me over to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 13, we're going to take a look at a passage this morning that I think speaks so well to this very moment. If you want to follow along at home, open your Bible up to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 13. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. In hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who are the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, there's a ton of encouragement to be found in this passage, and I would encourage you to reflect on the whole of it throughout the week, but the one verse I want us to focus in on is Romans 8:28. Let me read it again by heart. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Now, look, I don't know about you, but just hearing that verse makes me think, okay, so what's the good that God's doing in the midst of this crisis? I mean, everywhere we turn, it sounds like there's bad news going on. We need some good news right now. So what are the good things that God's doing? Well, if you have something to write with, let me encourage you to write down these points. Maybe they'll serve as a reminder during the week when you need some good news. Okay, so here, how is God bringing about good in this season? Well, one good thing that God is doing is that he's making us more aware of how the creation is, in fact, groaning. So especially in the midst of this pandemic, it's abundantly clear that something is wrong with this world. God says that the creation is actually groaning. Why? Well, because it's been infected by sin. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin came into the world and infested all of creation. And now the soil produces thorns. Now the lamb no longer lies down with the lion, and we have tornadoes, we have floods, and we even have pandemics. Now, just to be clear, this was never God's desire. Pandemics are the result of human sin. And as a result, creation has been groaning like a woman in childbirth ever since. Now, having witnessed my wife give birth to two children, that is a powerful groan. Creation is longing for the day when God will renew the heavens and the earth. And that's exactly what Scripture promises will happen. One day soon, Jesus will return to transform this world. There will be no longer will there be floods or tornadoes or even pandemics or even death. Nature will undergo a complete metamorphosis, and all who trust in Christ will never be sick again. But until that day, when we groan within ourselves, we also groan together with this world. We long for its healing, and we together cry out for healing together. Well then, a caveat to this realization is that God is using this season to make us more aware of how much he regularly blesses us. So let me ask, when was the last time you were grateful for a fully stocked grocery store? I sure am now. And when was the last time you were really grateful for having a meal out, even at Denny's, with your kids? I bet we are now. And when was the last time you absolutely thanked God for the ability to hug your Christian brother or sister in a worship service? I don't know about you, but I can't wait until we are back all together. We are going to have a service that is going to blow the roof off this place. See, God is allowing some of these things to happen just to encourage us to realize how vulnerable we really are. It helps us appreciate providentially how he blesses us every day of our lives. Well, another way that God is working good in the season is by letting us experience just how much we aren't in control of our existence. You know, we tend to think that we make plans. Then we work the plans. And then those plans lead to the future we imagined. Well, that's not exactly the way it works. You see, God is the one who's in control. He's the one who actually makes the plans. And in times like these, God makes that fact abundantly clear to us. The Scottish theologian Donald Bailey writes this. For it's little that I have power to do or to ordain. Not of my own will am I here, not of my own will shall I soon pass hence. Of all that shall come to me this day, very little will be such as I have chosen for myself. Now, most of the time, I feel like I'm the one who's controlling my life. Realizing how little control I really have is really upsetting. And I'm sure in these days you feel the same way. Well, thankfully, Bailey goes on and he prays this. It is thou who dost keep in thy grasp the threads of this day's life, and who alone knowest what lies before me to do or to suffer. But because thou art my Father, I'm not afraid. Now, both of those thoughts are essential. I mean, the sooner that we realize that we're not in control, and that we realize that God is our loving Father, then it's possible, even in the midst of not having control, to not be afraid. Now, one other way that God is bringing about good in this crisis is how he's already diminished our divisions and our divisiveness. Now, look, I don't need to tell you, these past few years have been a period of intense division in our country. I mean, especially politically. But the common threat of the coronavirus has helped us overcome these divisions. I mean, for the first time in years, politicians have actually cooperated for the sake of the greater good. So God is actually using this season to help people experience again what it's like to be unified. So God is also reminding us that life is far more fulfilling when we look out for others. I know it's only been a week, but have you already begun to realize that abundant life doesn't come from hoarding toilet paper and living with a stocked freezer? See, God designed us to live in community and care for each other. And now, under these circumstances, caring for others in the community, it's a challenge, but it's possible. In fact, I want to say it's important. For example, please continue to seek ways for your community group to stay in touch and to do so virtually. Zoom seems to be the popular choice. You can check back on our homepage soon, and you'll find resources there on how to connect with one another or even how to join a group during this season. And also look for ways to bless the people around you, especially those in your oikos. I mean, FaceTime somebody who's lonely. Write a letter. Make sure people know that they're cared for. You see, God doesn't tell us to bless people only when it's easy or only when it's completely safe. In fact, did you know that one of the primary reasons Christianity spread in the early centuries was because of how Christians responded with compassion in times of epidemics and plagues? This isn't the first time the church has experienced something like this. Eusebius, the early church historian, wrote that because of the church's compassion for those in need during times of crisis, the deeds of Christians were on everyone's lips. Everyone took notice. Canadian Moss, a professor of New Testament and early Christianity at Notre Dame, notes that an epidemic that seemed like the end of the world actually promoted the spread of Christianity. Why? Because their love of Christ and their hope of heaven, Christians showed the rest of the world that Christianity is even worth dying for. And throughout the centuries, the reports are all the same. In England in the 1800s, when many were dying of cholera, Charles Spurgeon and his church, they visited hundreds of homes. I was just reading this past week. It's amazing to care for people for cholera. And even now, the reports are coming in from churches in China and Italy. They're sharing their food. They're helping the sick. You see, if we don't find ways to bless other people over these next few weeks, I mean, yes, all right, staying safe and taking prudent risks, we're not living up to what it means for us to be the church. Prayerfully be on the lookout for ways that God is calling you to care for others. But of all these things, more than anything else, God in his mercy is once again, and maybe perhaps like never before in the history of our now global world, God is bringing about good by encouraging the world to cry out for healing. You know, we're realizing that we need help beyond what our amazing medical systems can handle. They're just not totally adequate. And as a result, people who ordinarily don't pray, they're crying out to God. And this season is helping us realize that we all have a deep need for God and his healing. So in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of reading all the social media, in the midst of hearing all the news, have you cried out for God? Have you cried out for his mercy? You see, God wants to save you from more than the coronavirus. He wants to save you from being separated from him for eternity. Now, especially if you're not a regular to BPC, maybe you're just turning in. Let me tell you, starting a relationship with God is as easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you need God. B, believe in Jesus, that he died for you, that he loves you, that he's now risen. And C, commit yourself to him. Commit all that you know of yourself to all that you know of him. And pray even now for his forgiveness and salvation, just using the A, B, and C. Now, despite all these things, maybe you're still having trouble seeing the good in this. Maybe you're still troubled. Maybe you don't even know what to say to God. So let me remind you of what we just read earlier. Here's the good news. In the same way, this is verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to say, what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. One of the most gracious things the Spirit does is that he takes our groans, our desires, and even our misdirected yearnings, and he straightens them out for us. The Spirit says on our behalf, Father, I know what he's saying, but this is what he really means. And this is what he really wants to say in his complaining. So rest assured that the Spirit is taking your groans and he's interceding for you. You see, that's what our God does. God intercedes for us. God takes the broken things of this world like you and me, and he makes good out of them. 2,000 years ago, the Father took the crucifixion of his one and only Son, the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of our world. And he used it to bring about the best thing that's ever happened, our forgiveness and eternal reunion with him. If God can take that evil and bring about good, trust that God will bring about good even from this pandemic. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it's not easy to rest knowing that you're the one in control when everything else seems to be spinning out of control. This is unprecedented times. None of us have ever seen anything quite like this. And so, Father, forgive us that we are anxious. But, Lord, we do see good things that you're doing. You're doing good things all over the place. And help us to focus on those. Help us to trust that you're in control. And in the places where we fail, Spirit, please take our groans and reinterpret them for us. And, Lord, we just ask for your healing. We ask for mercy from this virus. And may these days ahead be places where we can show others what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ, both by showing a confidence beyond this world and by serving people where you show us it's safe and appropriate. So, Father, we lift all this to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly more than you can ever dare to ask or imagine. How? By his power that's at work within you. The great power of the Holy Spirit, the one who is able to give us peace even in the midst of the storm. To him be all glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, and everybody in your home together say it with me, amen and amen. May God keep us all healthy and safe during this time, and together he's going to see us through this.